Blog Talk Radio.
Very faithless and perverse generation. What do you say? Faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted with our faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Well, say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. And you don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil says, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends. Don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on, that's the secret right there, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it, seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils, because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you're worth killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you love your time and let me see how you start your day out, if you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging, brother, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God saying, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with Him and slept with Him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by Him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the Word that they heard right out of their hearts and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them, and instead of believing what the Word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the Word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what he's talking about. It isn't just hearing the Word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the Word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the Word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the King comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
Oh, God's people, glory!
Hey, shalom, saints. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Peace and blessings on the first day of the Feast of First Fruits. Shavuot. Hallelujah. Glory to King Ged. Glad to see you all in the room tonight, listening through the phone line or on the chat. Hope you all had a wonderful weekend. Of course, we got fed super well again. Thank you, Brother Ugly, for the sound check. You know, we get a good understanding and teaching by the shepherd on, rape, And I guess it all came from a questions on Facebook or something. I don't know, I'm not on Facebook no more, but that's what I understand. And we got another good taste of, the situation between husband and wife, those that are believers, and one that's a believer and unbeliever in 1 Corinthians 7. And it's necessary for us as a people to better understand these things, to get us more entrenched in the old paths. So, it's raining here. It's pouring out. But hey, glory to the King. Of course, you all know the state of affairs going around the world right now. And it should be a wake-up call for everybody, especially for Israel. If anything, it should show us where we lacked and where we're missing and where we failed to act before all this stuff came down. It's not like we haven't heard the message about getting ready. I mean, like Pastor has been putting it out since, 2010 or 11, whoever, when Brother Shannon Parker did that YouTube compilation. So that's just a testimony about how long it's been being echoed into our ears and sounded that we should be doing things to get ready to get set apart. So this definitely is a good wake-up call. Does anybody know what is going to be the short-term outcome of this? Don't know. I really don't. You look at all the signs and the symptoms of the economy and, more of the lies are folks are being exposed, that, the fake media and these governments around the world are propagating. So, hey, bless you all, Brother Sean. I hope you all doing all right down there with all that nasty weather going through. At least you got power, right? Glory to the King. But, so we're definitely in perilous times that are going to get more perilous. And so this should be a time of somber reflection, reality check to, let us gauge our own hearts, our minds, where we are spiritually and naturally, both, because, Paul said he prayed that our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless under the coming of Yahshua HaMashiach. It's 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 5. But, so we have some work to do, and I hope that Israel is even more determined after this, worldwide going on, that if they got things that they were lacking, that they're going to pick up the ball and get things in order, because it's necessary, it's Yah's people. So I titled tonight's blog talk, The Faithful Servant, and I guess the context of labeling that title simply, remaining faithful, even more faithful, because a faithful servant, he does what he has to do to make sure that his master's house is rightly prepared and that he can see to the needs of, those around him as the faithful, his brothers and sisters. So with that, we're going to get started. Right off the bat, thank you again, Brother Ugly, for your diligence in posting the scriptures and the definitions. I don't even think I got any definitions tonight, so it's just all, the word without any definition. So, hallelujah. With that, we're going to get started. I'm not going to be long for you tonight, but it's just to, get things back in our conscience more about the direness and the severity of these times, and there may be challenges to some people already that, because this is just a complete upsetting of our routine, and because as people that are in, especially in this country, we develop routines that, once they get shooken up a little bit, they tend to, they'll set people back, and they're trying to readjust and get, because people look for comfort in their routines. And, this whole thing, this whole pandemic has definitely been something to, disturb that regular routine. I mean, at the community here, It's, you know, business as usual, as you've heard Pastor in the videos and on Blog Talk. It's we're still out there getting our gardens ready and everything. And actually, honestly, it's kind of nice not having to really go on errands or going to town for anything. So that's been nice. And I can say personally, I really don't miss it at all. Never really did, though. But, you know, what about other people that, you know, they have brothers and sisters used to going to the store whenever. They used to, you know, go shopping, whatever, you know, go on a trip someplace, take a vacation. All that stuff has been, you know, the focus has been changed. And it's probably high time that we get this shaking up in Israel, because Yah wants us in our place. He wants us to be prepared for our own salvation and for his coming. So with that, we're going to get started. We're going right into 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. 1 Peter 4, 17 through 19. Glory to the King. All right, this is what Peter had to say in his letter. He said, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of Yah. And it first begin at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of the Most High? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of Yah commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." So we have a situation. Peter here, a long time ago, already knowing, having spent all them years and days with Yahshua, having, you know, a full anointing of the Holy Spirit, was able to, you know, accurately display for us and write for us that this time is coming. And is this the judgment of beginning right now from against, you know, Yah's people or for Yah's people? It could be. I mean, I'm not the one to make that declaration, but obviously it's a wake-up call. It's a shaking. So, but Yah needs to get us set up in order first. He needs his people Israel to get set, to get ordered, to get set apart, to get their spirits right for the stuff that's really going to come down the pike. And he wants us all where we're supposed to be so he can properly watch over us and we can watch over each other. So, you know, the whole point is to commit the keeping of their souls to him, to Yah, in well-doing. And well-doing is doing those things which he required of us so that our souls may be kept well. You know, getting set apart, getting, stay prayed up, stay fasted up, you know, continue on, you know, endeavoring in deliverance, getting things set up for our natural body for preparation against these times, you know, getting some land, getting, you know, your food stores set up, your ammo, everything else that, again, we've been hearing spoken about by Pastor for many, many years. And I personally can say that even though I live on a community, I've done all that too, and I have, you know, very well stocked for even in a community setting. And you know, it may come to the fact that we may need to use that storage, you know, on a community level. And glory to the King that's there for the offer. But anyway, so we have that situation that, is this the judgment? Is this from Yah? Is this, again, like I said, I'm not 1,000%. I can't make that declaration. I don't feel I have the place. But I do know, again, it's a shake-up. It's a wake-up call. All this that's going on should be a good measuring stick, you know, to show us where we're at spiritually, mentally, and our state of preparation all the way around. All right, going over to Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 24, verses 44 through 51, Matthew 24, 44 through 51. Glory to the King. Well, I know, I'm sure glad spring is here, though. I'd love to see everything greening up. Oh, Brother Ugly, you're up there a little bit farther north, so I guess you're a little bit behind the shit. If I remember my days in Minnesota, it would be towards the end of April here when things started to be green up, so hallelujah. All right, what does Yahshua say? He's given an explanation. He's given some direction and some admonishment to the disciples, and he said, "Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man coming." And, you know, that's not only talking about when he comes at the end, but that's an everyday occurrence. So we always need to be in the state of, hey, God may be taking us home today, you know. So, you know, when you have the time, when God, his goodness gives you the place to repent, better be doing it. When you have the ability to go out there and stock up on more food and everything else and whatever else you have to do to get yourself and your house spiritually right, you know, and naturally right, yes. Because we know not at what hour the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? So Yeshua is going to he's going to explain to for us, for his disciples, for his people, who is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season, to actually be able to provide. So this servant is one that made the preparations, did that which is necessary, so the meat could be given when it's required, when it's due, in whatever season that may be. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. He's finding that the master came, that this servant or the servants are actually busy attending about the master's wishes, what he wrote down, what he spoke to them, you know, verbally. What we have, of course, in our word, that everything that's commanded for us to do, to get set apart, to get out, get as far out of this wicked world as possible. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Well, why is that? Because he found himself faithful in the little things, and now he gets appointed to something greater, because he was actually able to practice and put in practice everything that the master had required of him. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming. Okay, so that's kind of like the context of this. What's going to happen when this thing starts to get past us a little bit? Is there going to be an easing off in the spirit of the saints? Is there going to be a looking back to the way things used to be, because there was comforts there, because there was assurances in that former condition on this earth? So what is going to be the mindset going forward? Are we going to say, we got through this, and now we're going to kind of relax a little bit and let things slip? No, even not more so, it's high time that we even do a quicker work. And shall begin to smite the fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. And the master of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And shall cut him asunder and point him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because the servant was doing well, but he decided to back off and to slack off. He got tired of waiting. He got tired for the stuff to actually get, you know, everything that was spoken about to get here, and he got lazy, so to speak. So now he gets his reward for his apathy, which is, he's going to be cut off and get his portion with the hypocrites, the other ones that said we need to do this, the other ones that said, yeah, we hear what's being said, we see the direction that the righteous are taking, but, you know, we'll get there when we get there, type of thing. And Yeshua actually labels these people as hypocrites, so don't be hypocrites, Israel, get it done. All right, Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation 3, 14 through 19. Revelation 3, 14 through 19. And unto the angel, that's the messenger of the assembly of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Yah. I know thy works. So Yeshua is revealing to John in the spirit the condition of the church at Laodicea, the condition of the mindset, the condition of the people's hearts. He's about ready to tell them that he's making this thing assured to John, so this word gets out there so the people are aware of their conditions that they don't believe that they're in. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, but I would that you were cold or hot, either one way or the other way. Don't be a hypocrite, either be cold or hot. At least have some integrity about yourself. If you're going to do, do. If you're not, you're not. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know, those that claim that they're Israel, those that show up for the assemblies, the fellowships, that haven't done anything. They just name the name of Yahshua, and they go to Shabbat service or whatever it may be, in a home fellowship or a community setting, whatever it may be, but they really haven't got the integrity to do what's required of them, to get ready. And Yahshua says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing." What a dangerous place to be, absolutely dangerous place. I am rich, I'm well-to-do, everything's setting good, I got, things are going good, my life is all happy, it's peaceful all the time, because you can make peace, you can do what you have to make peace outside of Yahshua and make yourself feel good, but Jesus is clearly saying that this is the condition, the deceiving condition of the minds of his people, because they believe that they have enough, they believe they don't need anything else, and they can be settled on their lees and just stretch back a little bit. But Yahshua is going to lay it out here clear. And he said, "And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked?" Well, how does somebody that is rich, somebody that has increased with good, somebody that's lukewarm, somebody believes they have need of nothing because they have everything there already, and they don't have to do any more work, they're resting for till Yahshua gets there. And he's telling them the real condition. It's a totally a wake-up call. This is really what you're dealing with. The other stuff is a huge deception. You need to shake yourself out of it. Then he goes on to say, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich," the true riches he's talking about, "and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear." The nakedness, the shame, that the reproach that comes with not being obedient to the word, not being obedient to the instruction of the pastors and the elders and the ones that have been set up and ordained to give direction for this ministry for Straightway. "And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love." Well, how does he show his love? How does Yahshua show his love? He says, "I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." So he's letting us know the condition. So anytime that you see somebody that believes that they've got everything necessary and they can just kick back, I look at this, and believe me, I'm not about to deceive myself to say that I can just kick back and take it. Even now, more so that we're seeing the signs of this earth coming, the shaking going on across this entire globe, across this entire planet, that it's even more necessary that we press harder and get more prepared. All right, Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Luke 12, 16 through 21. Alrighty, this is what it says in the book of Luke. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." So you're dealing with, Jesus is setting up the situation here, and you have a rich man, and he's been very profitable in his endeavors. So he's got his plantings, his crop harvest, whatever the case may be, because back then that stuff was real value, to have food and lands and that type of thing, and be totally prepared. So this rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Well, am I good to go? Do I stop? I've got everything in front of me. All my needs are met. I'm good to go. I can kick back for a while and, just live off my labors and not be active and proactive. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And so he come to a thought. He had a thought. He said, "This will I do." Okay, I'm going to make a decision. This is what I'm going to do. "I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." And then after this is all done, he's gonna go through this process. He's going to even provide himself for more, which is, you know, good. He should have food stored up and everything else. But there's a mindset there that Yahshua is trying to get us to see. And what it means to be a faithful servant. A faithful servant doesn't stop. He can't stop. Not until his master returns home. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Man, I've arrived. I have no need of anything. Things are good. As long as my flesh gets the nourishment that it needs, you know, I'm not really going to pay any attention to my spiritual condition because I've done what I've needed to do, and it's not necessary for me anymore to do any more work. I'm just going to kick it, right? Take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry. And, of course, when anybody that's taking their ease and isn't paying attention, that's when the enemy's going to show up for sure, because we have to be sober and watching continually. Prayer is a labor. Fasting is a labor. These are all righteous labors. But Yah said unto him, so this the Most High is talking directly to this rich man, and says, you fool, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So this man had all this stuff laid up. He didn't do that which is necessary to safeguard himself or take the proper precautions to watch over the goods of his house and his own personal well-being. And all of a sudden his soul is going to be required of him for whatever reason. And all these things that he provided for himself, and then he got lazy and decided to just take it easy, they're going to be going to somebody else. You know, I think in Proverbs talked about, well, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So you got another kind of off-the-hand description about the character of this rich man. So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and not rich towards the Most High. Again, so it's a selfish endeavor what this man did. It wasn't anything to do with the goodness for the kingdom, to support others, to help others. And he's got his self, I'm sure, is cut with the, you know, as a portion with the hypocrites. Proverbs chapter 28, Proverbs 28, verse 11. Proverbs 28:11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. Searches who out? Searches Yah. Because they keep themselves. They're in a desperate state. They're in a destitute state. They may have all the earthly things that they need, but their spiritual condition even more so has to be secured and strengthened in every way, shape, or form. Because, I mean, you can have everything in this world, but if you ain't got a solid relationship and a clean spirit with the Most High, it don't mean anything. So it's important that our whole spirit, soul, and body is preserved blameless, and that's going to take preparation on all the fronts. And again, this is a wise servant. This is a faithful servant, the one that keeps himself in a condition that he knows that he is continually in need, and he has to labor and has to work to provide those needs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Proverbs 1, verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So, you know, all the men, you know, you can see, as the pastor has spoken about, and brought up the subject about, even for this impact, for this pandemic, that those that are actually were in Israel, I mean, part of us now, that it's not like somebody that just came in and just heard. I mean, there's people that actually been in it for a while, right? And they didn't do anything about it. They just literally did not do any type of preparation work at all. And even though it's been resounded and spoken about, and over and over and over again, leaving nobody any excuse not to get things completed and get done, it shows you what level of understanding this brother or sister may have had. But it clearly here tells you the wise man is the one that's going to hear. He's going to take what's being spoken and actually apply it, put it into action. And then he's going to show how wise he was when all the world around him is failing, but because he's done those things necessary to prepare himself and his house. he's going to be in a good state. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 5. Whoso keepeth a commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. So a wise man, the wise men are the ones that are out there looking at what's going on, that they were able to discern the season that they were in, able to, you know, comprehend the evil, the thing that's going on around them. First of all, they kept themselves in Yah's word. So they don't feel the evil thing that the rest of the world is going to feel. Because remember, judgment must first begin at the house of Yah. And this wise man applied himself to understand the times and understand the condition of the world around him and his own condition as well. And of course, this man was considered a wise man because he did just these things. So when we start going the other way with this pandemic, this, you know, who knows how long it's going to go. Again, is it going to be the temptation to want things that the way they were before this? Because I honestly believe that there's going to be, you know, this is like any other thing that goes on, order out of chaos, right? Nova Ordis Seclorum. And, you know, after 9/11, they said, well, we're going to propose these temporary measures, you know. And, of course, they were not temporary. You know, the TSA at the airports, it's just, you know, we want to, and make sure that doesn't happen, so we got to do some serious things. And they never got removed. They're still there. In fact, they've increased the security and surveillance. The Patriot Act, you know, all these other things. Every time something has happened like this, you know, and there's some, you know, a massive tragedy or apocalyptic happening in this country, they impose things, and they say that, well, it's necessary even for short term, and they turn into long term. I mean, come on, Jesus. You know, the thing that gets me, the essential stuff, I don't want to get off on the wrong track, but some of this stuff, because I'm keeping up with the news, trying to anyway, and get a good feel for what's going on. You know, the crazy stuff, I mean, come on, seeds and gardening supplies are considered non-essential items. Now, in a time when people are in food lines, and you can obviously see that there's total wickedness in the power that be, because to take away the ability to people, because you know how many people probably were going to, I don't want to say a lot, but there's probably a good deal of people that were actually, man, we got to see, you know, maybe there's a depression coming. We're going to have to get some food in the ground, do something because we got to eat. But then they've actually, you know, some states have actually taken away this ability to do that. That is so insane. I mean, if we can't see a better picture of what these people are trying to do, these wicked governments, then I don't know what else tells us that. Yeah, Brother Ugly posts that alcohol and marijuana are considered essential here, and that's something. Oh my God, they might as well just put porn right next to it. I guess that, you know what that is? It's antidepressants. That's what that's for, but actually they're depressants. So I can see them doing that, let the people get all drowned in their sorrows and, you know, everything else that's going to happen because we're going to get to that too. But all right, back at it. I don't want to get off too far off. Okay, Acts chapter 13, verse 41. Acts chapter 13, verse 41. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And haven't we had the declaration made to us many times that there's going to be something, that we're in the end days, the time when getting closer to the coming of Yahshua, when the world is, the groanings and travailings are happening right before our eyes. I mean, I remember clearly Pastor said this is going to be a time of great shaking coming on. And, you know, if you can't survive the shaking, you're not going to stand. So, but here again in Acts, that it tells us clearly that there's going to be those of Israel who just didn't believe it, didn't heed, and didn't take the advice. And they actually are labeled despisers. And the end of them is going to perish, because there's going to be a quick work coming now, as we can see the changes getting us ready, getting us prepared, getting us protected, and the unbelievers, the one that didn't heed and take counsel, are going to perish. All right, Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. Luke 21, 25 and 26. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity in the seas, and waves roaring. Now, if anybody isn't paying attention to what's going on in the world, especially with the availability of, you know, instant film and pictures because of cell phones and the other devices that we carry with us now, I mean, there's all kind of crazy stuff showing up. I mean, lights in the skies, and two suns, and two moons, and just, you know, all kinds of stuff going on. And there's a lot of YouTube channels out there that are actually capturing a lot of stuff. People are eager to send it in. I just, crazy stuff happening. But it tells us what day we're in. Verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You know, there's a situation I just felt. I did a lot of calls last week, an absorbent amount. Just a busy week. And there was such a variety of topics that, you know, some people all of a sudden asking, you know, what do they got to do? These are new people, because, you got to give them a little slack, because they're just coming into this. And, you know, I've actually had some guy tell me, man, am I too late? Elder Becker, is this actually brother, as soon as Yah wakes you up and calls you, you just get started. You know, if you're one of his, he's going to do what's necessary to make sure that you get on the right road to salvation. But I spoke to this woman, right, from California. And come on, we're in this pandemic for what, it's been about 6 weeks now, officially, unofficially, in that time frame. But I talked to this woman from California, and she had a question for me about suicide and wanted to know what would happen if she committed suicide, what would, you know, be her eternal judgment. Okay, and so then, you know, after talking to her, because I try to get as much information from people before really committing to anything, because, you know, sometimes people just give you bits and pieces, and they're looking for a certain answer, but then they're going to exploit it or use another way. So many hours on the phone has taught me to do a little bit more research. So I said, so what's the reason you want to commit suicide, right? And she's like, well, you know, because of all the stuff that's going on right now, and, you know, we're definitely looking to, experience some very difficult times in the days ahead. And she said, but her biggest fear is that the authorities are going to come knocking and showing at her door and forcibly remove her children for isolation because of the virus or whatever. And she was so fearful that she would have to actually watch that and experience. I mean, just totally projected fear, right? But she's actually looking to take herself out so she doesn't have to deal with the aspects of what's possibly coming on the face of this earth. She's totally, her husband, it turns out he's a minister, but in a non-denominational, they don't even keep the commandment, right? So, yeah, anyway, just gave me a little bit of more insight about where people's minds are. Come on, I mean, something that hasn't even happened. I mean, they've been talking about, forced, quarantine and all of a sudden actually forcibly removing people from their homes. I think they actually have done that with a few. The law enforcement agencies are really stepping up their game too and getting, more and the more of the police state that we're seeing. But yeah, this is totally tripping me out. It's like, so I explained to her what her end would be if she did, and I hope she reconsiders, but just amazing. Wow. Well, of course, what are you going to do? Like, she hasn't got no relationship with the Most High. Doesn't know. She doesn't know who to trust in. And wow. So, yeah, men's hearts failing them for fear. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 9. What are the times and seasons, brethren? You have no need that I write unto you. Okay, now he's, again, we're dealing with faithful servants, and servants that are being prepared, and ones that are sober these days, and one that have taken the necessary steps to ensure that the safety of themselves and their families, that they're prepared for these days. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of Yahweh so cometh as a thief in the night. You know, just unexpectedly, whatever watch, whatever hour, that's how thieves work in the night under the cover of darkness. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I mean, isn't that what they've been trying to say now, even though in the midst of all this? I'm not saying that they're actually declaring it right now, but if you listen to Trump at all, he's, you know, he's trying to remain optimistic about all this instead of pessimistic. But, of course, we can see there's not peace and safety, but they're going to promote that and push that, you know, just continue to lie to the people more. And, you know, as Paul makes it clear here, then the sudden destruction can, because people are just going to be settled and not paying attention. It's okay, be at peace, you know, don't be paying attention. You know, you got all your goods stored up or whatever the case, we'll take care of you, right? You know, the government, we're going to take care of you. We're going to make sure that you get food and everything else. And then, boom, here comes a sudden destruction. But ye brethren are not in darkness. Faithful servants aren't in darkness. The unfaithful ones are, the ones that begin to smite the fellow servants and getting drunken. And, yeah, they're in darkness. But Paul's saying, brethren, you are not in darkness. You know the times and the seasons, that the day should overtake you as a thief, because you're doing that which is necessary as a faithful and wise servant to prepare, and have been preparing. You are all the children of light, the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. You know, sleeping, you can be wide awake and be fully asleep. I mean, totally complacent, ignoring the things going around, hoping for life as normal, whatever that is, and not doing the things necessary to preserve yourself, especially spiritually. Not gaining anything. These people that sleep are in a state of apathy and are not making the moves they should be. They're actually, how can you not hear the word and then not act on it? Because you must be in a state of sleep, passivity. As do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on, being the day, we have the light. We can see, we can understand, because Yah has opened that up to us. We've heeded what's been spoken. We've heeded what's been put in our ears. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For Yah has not appointed us to wrath. No, he hasn't appointed us to wrath. He's preserving us from the wrath to come, from the shaking on this earth, if we do those things as faithful and wise servant, because we do know the time and season. No sense in telling us, everybody can see. I mean, just look at the, you know, the LBGTQ and all the other letters. You know, that in itself should be enough indication that these are some wicked times. I mean, read Genesis 6 if you get time. See about how it was before the flood came. I mean, you know, when they're talking about that, it's everybody on the face of the planet was in wickedness. For Yah has not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation by our Master, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter 3, 1 through 7. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So Peter wants to elicit the thoughts of men. He wants to awaken them and wants to remind them again of things that are coming, because they've been told these things. Now, they didn't know the time exactly. I mean, how could they, you know, but they were still prepared back then to receive whatever might be coming against them, whatever persecutions. I know one thing, that's one thing we as, especially as Americans, have not faced, is the persecutions that Yahshua spoke about, that the apostles spoke and the prophets spoke about. that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Master and Savior Jesus Christ. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, because they have other programs, other desires they can call them. Now, this is written to Israel. This isn't written to the world. So it's for Yah's people. That's who Peter's talking to. And he's talking to the people that are wise to these times, and wise men, and wise sisters and brothers, about this is something that's going to happen in these days. There's going to come these scoffers walking after their own lust. They got things, they got agendas they got to do, they got a life they have to commit to, they got their careers, they got whatever. They can name the name of Yahshua and call themselves Israel, but actually by their actions, they're showing how much they're scoffing at the importance of being prepared and being paid attention to what was being said and spoken, the warnings and the admonishment. So they're not. And again, this is, you know, the thing that I've been thinking about this a whole lot is that where are people's hearts going to go after this thing kind of subsides a little bit, this pandemic? Are they going to go back to that, looking for that life of routine and, not, I don't want to say ease, but that's, you know, because, hey, it happened to our ancestors when they were got into the wilderness, man, the first big test. They didn't even cross over the Sea of Reeds yet, and they were screaming to go back in the threat of present danger and threat of death. I mean, they were looking to run back and blaming the ones that Yah put in authority to save their rear ends. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Remember, when they say, shall peace and safety, I mean, come on. I mean, everything's good now. We got it back under control. Economies look like it rebounding. You know, we tackled this sickness and, you know, we put a few more laws in, but everything's good. You know, people are happy. They're back out again doing what people do. Where is the promise of this coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Boy, I'll tell you what, now we can't say that now, can we? I mean, the spiritual condition of many people may be continuing, but the signs and wonders and things going on this earth sure aren't. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of Yah the heavens were of old, and then the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water, well, the great flood. I mean, come on, people didn't take any heed to the warning of Noah, a preacher of righteousness. They didn't do anything to prepare themselves to actually hear what he had to say so they could have been in a safe place. I mean, that's staggering again, you think about it. 8 people out of the entire earth. That is really something. But that, so Peter's saying the same thing is coming. We're dealing with the same apathetic, lethargic, passive spirit again that was back in those days. And again, this is on Israel. This isn't on the world. God, where is the place of the judgment of the ungodly? Where are they going to appear? Well, they're going to appear before the judgment seat, and then they get the eternity in hell. But this is for Israel. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. All right, Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Again, we're dealing with Israel. The focus is these are all Jesus talking about. He's saying that this is Israel here. I mean, the only people he's talking about, the sheep, right? And so, kingdom of heaven should be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They all heard the same word. They all were given the same instruction. They all had the same space of time to get prepared for these times. But we have these 5 that were scoffers. Even though they were there, right there with the wise, they were still scoffing. They were hoping to live off the wise and the words of the wise and the actions of the wise. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels because they were prepared. I mean, they were actually totally prepared for this season and this time. They were awake. They weren't drunken in the night. They weren't sleeping in the night. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all them virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Okay, it's time. Hey, everybody, it's time. The master's here. He's come home. He's come to get his bride. He's come to gather his people together, and the cry has gone out. And, well, but it's the middle of the night, you know, so we have to see where we're going. We have to have the light. And then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Now check out this answer. Wouldn't you think that they would, just because they're all Israel, that the wise would be benevolent and caring and concerned enough that they were going to cough up some of their oil because they felt bad? You know, isn't that what you're supposed to do for your brothers and sisters, right? But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." I mean, there may become a time, Israel itself, you know, and people are going to show up because they didn't do anything, didn't prepare themselves at all when they had plenty of time to do it, and that might be the answer that we may have to give them. No, you go out and buy for yourselves. You go out and do what you should. I mean, it sounds harsh, but now you can see clearly, Yahshua said, because the fools, the wicked, didn't do that which prepared, and there's no reason at all that you have to provide for somebody that didn't have a desire, that were settled on their lees, that were not hot nor cold, that were unfaithful servants. They tended to get drunk with the drunken and carry the attitude that they didn't need to do all these things. But clearly, wise said, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, "Master, Master, open to us." But he answered, "Truly, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." Now believe me, I understand that you know, we have many faithful brothers and sisters that have been, even before this thing came down, have been endeavoring to make the moves. And I talk to people and they ask, you know, especially new people, "What can I do?" I said, "Well, you know, Yah knows how to deliver the righteous, okay? He knows exactly where you need to be, but what you need to do is do as much preparation in the situation where you're at, because right now you haven't got the means, you haven't got the finances, the funds. But it doesn't mean that you can't prepare. You can, you know, are you putting up a, you know, canned goods every week? Are you, you know, have you got yourself some way to protect yourself? Do at least what you can, so when the Most High makes paths for your feet, and, you know, because you're one of the righteous, and brings you someplace for to be with the assembly, be with those of like mind, and you have something to contribute, right? Then you have something to give. You can be a benefit." All right, Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to end on Nehemiah 4. Chapter 4, and it's, let me see. Nehemiah 4, 1 through 18. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And the reason I brought this up, because I wanted to bring out, help illustrate the perseverance and the desperation that, and the desire that the people of, with Nehemiah in them days, what they went through to actually accomplish and get themselves prepared and get the, you know, get things built back up again. They just weren't settling, waiting for somebody to do it. When they had the opportunity to do it, they were going to get this job done and this work done. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" I mean, come on, Pastor. He was talking about the elders' table yesterday, and he's mentioned it many times. Where are all these detractors that were so coming down on the ministry and, you know, mocking us and, and not taking heed to the warning. Where are they now? Where are their voices now? Because, you know, we set out to do and have been doing the work that the Word has commanded us, that Yah has already given, made known to us. And these people out there got the same book. They read the same thing, but yet they can't get in, and they have an example because they're lazy. I mean, come on, that's the bottom line is folk are lazy. And they just don't want to get it done. They don't have a mindset to get it done. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. So these two guys are out there mocking and giving Israel a hard time. Well, they probably ain't got a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out. That's how the hypocrites do it. They sit there and point the finger at everybody else, but they haven't done one thing at all. Absolutely nothing. But it seems like that when people, you have so many people that just sit there and give their opinion, but they ain't doing nothing. That is so unbelievable. Man, if somebody's telling me something, I want to see the example. I want to see proof that what they're saying actually is, you know, productive and it works. Okay, and then Nehemiah, he says, hear, O our Elohim, for we are despised, and turn the reproach upon their own head. Boy, ain't there a lot of people suffering the shame and reproach now because they didn't do a damn thing to get anything ready? Y'all remember the phone message that was left here at the ministry about 2 weeks ago or a week and a half, whatever it was. Pastor spoke about it and played it for everybody. You know, and well, they were basically threatening us, these people, that because they were fellow Israelites, they expected us to open the door because we're brothers and sisters. Nah, man, you there's not enough for us. You go and buy and sell and do what you got to do. You should have been. But here, you know, we've got this same kind of spirit, this mocking kind of, this scoffing kind of spirit. They call themselves servants, but again, they're the ones that are go with the. They smite the fellow servants, and they go out there and get drunken, and they do the things that are not faithful servant, you know, that they're not supposed to be doing. Hear, O Elohim, for we are despised, and turn the reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together into half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. They had a mind to get it done. They were all in agreement and one accord. Just like it is in common unity. They're all in the same agreement, same judgment. They speak the same things. These people had a mind to work. They were devoted, the dedicated, the real true servants of the Most High. Not the, you know, sitting up and watching everybody else do everything else and expect a handout. No, uh-uh. But it came to get past that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to stop, they were very angry. Okay, now they're being threatened. And you don't think we've had people come at us in anger and their madness because we're doing something and they're not? Oh my God, you can't make this stuff up. Because what they failed to accomplish and didn't think was necessary, and then they're watching how much it's benefited us as a ministry for heeding the word. Yeah. And conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer before Yah, our Elohim, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so they were not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work. So now they're trying to get Israel off its game. They're trying to disturb them. They're trying to distract them so they stop doing the preparation work and getting things built and set in place and in order, right? And it came to pass that when the Israelites which dwelt by them came, they said unto us, oh, wait a minute. And our adversary said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore I set in, so the threat is real, right? So they're not taking this threat lightly. These people are angry, they're upset, and the hypocrites, they're going to reach out and lash out because they can see the success that the faithful are getting and the unsuccess and the position that they're in. Therefore, I set in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. I mean, anybody that's ever been in the men of the community here knows for a fact that we're always armed. I mean, everybody, especially the brothers, always got their sidearms on them. You know, they've always got their swords strapped to their hips all the time. And because that our enemies are, you know, they're out there, our detractors, so we take the threat real. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Most High. Trust in Yah. He is the one that He is our deliverer. He is the one that is going to exact vengeance on the heathen, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. It may have to come down to that. You know, you might have to actually go. But that's, again, this is especially since, Brother Gideon came into the ministry, that you can see the perfect timing of the Most High there, that definitely that was another, you know, clear indication that we're coming into some hostile times. And we needed a trained working group of, you know, Israelite brothers and sisters to be able to handle the threat. I mean, Yah does everything perfect, decently, in order, right on time, always. It's amazing. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and Yah had brought their counsel not, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, the other half of them held both spears and shields and bows, and the harbingers, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. So, I mean, even the princes of the people, they saw this demonstration and the tenacity of which Nehemiah and the people, and the sincerity and the seriousness of what they were doing, and they got totally behind them. They didn't try to tear them down. They didn't try to derail them. They didn't try to use their positions of authority to try to get in there. They just, you know, because you obviously could see that Yah's hand was upon the people. They which building on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and the other hand held a weapon. So even in the midst of, possible attack, they just kept going on, kept doing stuff. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. So even then, Nehemiah continually had the people and kept them in a ready mind and a prepared mind state. Well, I guess I got one last one. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 25. Hebrews 10, 22 through 25. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, doing the internal works on the inner man. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful to that promise. So all this stuff, we see all this stuff coming upon the face of the earth. Keep your trust in the Most High. Keep your profession of faith. Don't waver. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. It's all about standing fast. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I mean, again, how long has, our shepherd, how long has Pastor Dahl been declaring this thing? He's been trying to provoke those that say they are Israel unto good works, because he loves them and he doesn't want to see any man be left in a situation where they weren't prepared, and that they keep this, their families maybe in a desperate state. So that's why he's continuing to provoke. And these people may not receive it as love, a lot of people, but that's exactly what it is, telling you what you need to do to prepare yourself. That is a great love. And to do the good works, the preparation, getting set apart, getting yourself a piece of ground, getting your heart right, your spirit right, all those things are all good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah. So we need to exhort one another even more. Hang in there, brother. Get your stuff. Get on, make sure you're taking care of what you need to take care of. You know, it's not time to fail or get lazy or get settled on your leaves. It's even more of a high time that we get serious in what we have in front of us. So Anyway, that's the conclusion of tonight's study, just about being a faithful servant and holding tight to the things that we've been taught and spoken to and been given the privilege to hear in our ears and have seen with our own eyes the work that is going on. So we have the example in front of us. So y'all be encouraged. Keep your heads down out there. I mean, of course, with all this stuff going on, I just read a quick article not too long before the show came on about, you know, violent crime is starting to escalate. Well, that was a given, you know. There's no food, there's no money, and then people are going to resort to stealing and theft. I mean, just to survive. Most people, I don't think, know what really is in them until they get in a situation that they've never been faced with, like hunger and starvation. And, you know, they even said during the Depression in the 30s that a lot of people actually starved to death in this country. I mean, I watched another video today, this afternoon, and they're talking about all the food, especially the produce, because they don't have the workers to take care of the fields. They can't get, the supplies. They got all this other stuff. They can't sell their product because the restaurants are closed and the fast food joints and the food service is belly up now, and they're dumping the stuff on the ground, letting it rot, right? I mean, and so, yeah, at some point we are going to see the repercussions. I don't know how short-lived or long-lived it's going to be, but there's definitely going to be something come out of this, so. Hallelujah. And I do think, yeah, tomorrow I think is the last day. It's a holy convocation, Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we just started again today. Our 50 days of Shavuot, and glory to the King. But hey, I hope you all have a blessed rest of the week, that your hearts are encouraged, that you keep plowing forward and don't allow yourself to sit idle. All right. Bless you all. Hey, the King is coming.